Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this message with you entitled, In You and Through You. Before Jesus departed from this earth, he spoke of the future ministry of the Holy Ghost by saying that we would be endued with power from on high. He was speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. In this message, we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit directly to us and his ministry through us, both of which are vitally important if we're going to live a successful life as a believer. I trust this message will bless you. Heavenly Father, Father, it's such a privilege to be able to minister your word, to share the truths that I've seen, that I've received with those that you direct to our ministry. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what we're going to receive this evening from the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. We welcome you to minister to us. We welcome you and expect to receive from you your teaching ministry. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for salvation that you provided for us on the cross. We are so grateful and so thankful. Hallelujah. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that when we're finished here this evening, that we're not the same as when we began. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, previously in our last message, we were talking about being endued with power from on high. What a great title for a message, endued with power. And that's what happened to each and every one of us that's received salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have been endued with power. And that power, as I spoke about in our last message, is not authority. You see, in the New Testament, the word power can either be translated as exousia, which is authority, or dynamis, which is power, like what you get the word dynamite from, that type of self-energizing power. Now, one of the points that I made whenever we were talking about this power and being endued with this power from on high, is the fact that the power is the person of the Holy Ghost flowing through us. And I gave you this illustration. I kept this here. Wasn't sure if I was going to use it tonight, but it's a good way to start things out. So I have this light bulb, an incandescent light bulb. Now, this light bulb in and of itself doesn't generate any power. It can't turn itself on. And this represents a born-again child of God. They can't turn themselves on. They can't turn the power of God on. But what they can do is yield to the power of God. And so I liken that to taking this light bulb and screwing it into a light socket. It is yielded to that light socket, and then flip the switch, and the power is going to cause this light to come on. So it's not the light bulb isn't producing the power. It is simply a vehicle through which the power can flow. And that's what being endued with power is all about. We're yielded to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is able to flow through us and touch people and minister to people. So that's what we were talking about last week, being endued with power. I want to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. I believe that in the present day church, what has happened, as I see it, is that we've become somewhat complacent about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the turn of the century, in the 1900s, we had something that was called Azusa Street, and that was where the church as a whole became introduced to the ministry of the Holy Ghost in a greater measure. You know, for all of the years prior to that, you know, throughout the Dark Ages, there wasn't you know, specifically the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it, you know, it kind of began with Martin Luther and the message of salvation through grace, but that only began the born again experience and the revelation of what's transpired in us when we were born again, what Jesus has accomplished for us. Now we've got the understanding of the born again experience, that we're born again, that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And now, after Azusa Street, and then in the early 70s, there was also an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it was a great influence, a great focus of attention on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we've had these awakenings, if you will, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've had this understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's kind of taken center stage at times, but then it's as though as many things in the world of spirit, the enemy is able to come in and cause people to lose focus, lose attention, change their attention, be redirected off of the things that are truly important, and they start looking at the things that aren't necessarily as important. And so what we were focused on, what we were seeing with the Holy Ghost, it seems as if, you know, we see the words on the page about his ministry, and it's almost like it just kind of it hits us and bounces right off of us. And I put myself in that group because I find myself guilty of exactly the same thing. There is a ministry of the Holy Ghost to us, and there is a ministry of the Holy Ghost that's supposed to be through us. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us, and we want to look at the ministry of the Holy Ghost through us. You know, for the first part, where we're going to be talking about his ministry to us, we're going to be looking at the book of John in chapters 14, 15, and 16, because it's in those chapters and in verses that you're going to see where Jesus was telling us about the Comforter. He's going to tell us about the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us, and what his ministry would mean to us. And before we go to that, those verses in John 14, I want to look back at the prophet Isaiah, and I want us to see what the prophet Isaiah was looking at in the future for us, what he was seeing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and how that was going to affect us. And what we're going to see in this is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us and what that was going to produce in us. You see, he is, as John put it, our comforter, to bring us comfort, to bring us counsel. See, this is his ministry to us. This is how he brings the comfort and the comforting ministry to us. And it's important for us to not just see one aspect of the Holy Ghost ministry as the one that's going to flow through us and minister to other people. It's important that we see that his ministry is just as important ministering directly to us. And what I want to, I want us to see here at the beginning is what the prophet Isaiah pointed to as being the avenue through which his ministry was going to, we were going to be able to access his ministry to us. So if you want, if you have your Bible, if you could turn with me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, this chapter, we're going to see the words that the prophet wrote regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what as he saw it. You see, back in the prophets in the Old Testament, they were looking at the shadow. So as they're looking at the shadow, sometimes it's not as clear as what it is in the New Testament, where we have the manifestation of the reality. So as we're looking at the shadow, let's see if we can kind of understand a little bit about what he was talking about in regards to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 28, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now look at these words in verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So let me draw your attention to those words. This is the rest. This is the rest. The rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. The rest and the refreshing. With stammering lips and another tongue. With stammering lips. You know, you can't talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us without touching on speaking in other tongues. It's not possible. As you see back here in Isaiah, as he was looking in the future, these were the words that he chose, stammering lips and with another tongue, and it would bring the rest and the refreshing. There is a refreshing, there is a rest that we can enter into, that we can enjoy in the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us. And in this rest, we're having access directly to God himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. And what are we doing? How are we doing this? It is through speaking or praying in other tongues. This is so sad and yet not surprising that the enemy has been so successful with bringing such confusion to praying in tongues, speaking in other tongues. He has been so dogmatic about making sure that there's confusion about this point. And you have to ask yourself, why has he been so dogmatic about it? How come he has focused his attention so much on bringing confusion to praying in tongues? It's because it is so powerful. It is so effective. He's got to stop the believer from speaking in tongues. He's got to cause some kind of a problem, a confusion, discord in the body over what? Over praying in tongues, speaking in other tongues. You know, you've got some people saying, well, it's of the devil. You know, that's the devil speaking. Heavens, no, it's not. And what happens, according to what Isaiah is saying, when we have a lifestyle of praying in other tongues, that we are empowering the Holy Ghost to minister to us, and it brings a rest. It brings a refreshing. I've prayed in tongues for years now. And when you've done something for years, sometimes you take it for granted. And I guess, if anything, that's probably what I'm guilty of, taking it for granted. Taking for granted the peace, the refreshing that comes from spending time praying in other tongues. Now, if you're not familiar with praying in other tongues, if you're not familiar with how that operates, let me just give you a brief little lesson on praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, however you want to say praying or speaking. It comes with you first being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost is never going to grab your tongue and start wagging it for you so that you know, other tongues begins to come out. And I think that's what most people expect, that God's going to somehow take over, take control of your mouth, take control of your vocal cords, and force this language to come through you. That's just not how God operates. God never takes control over you, takes control away from you. You're the one that's in control. And what we do is we yield to the Holy Ghost, and we have to give voice to what we sense down in our spirit. So, for example, I'm going to begin to pray in tongues, and as I do, what I'm going to be saying is what I'm sensing on the inside, that as the Holy Ghost is creating that prayer language within me. Koto bo sandai, shoro bo koto bo sandara bashata rabakara basoto loroboto sandara bashata si. Now you'll notice that I started whenever I chose to start, and I stopped when I chose to stop. And the Holy Ghost began creating the instant that I began to speak, and stopped creating whenever I stopped creating that language. And that language, what is it? Well, it's the perfect prayer. It's everything that you need. And that is part of what brings the comfort and the peace. These are the things that we need the most, that we don't even have words to say, you know, what it is that we need. In Romans, and I'll turn over here, in Romans chapter 8, I'll show you where Paul, he was explaining this in verses 26, and likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. The helping of our infirmities is the infirmity is our inability to know what we're to pray for the way we're supposed to. That's an inability. That's an infirmity, is what he's saying here. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We just simply don't know what we should pray for as we ought. And that's a weakness. That's an infirmity. If you're struggling with, do I take this job at company A or this job at company B? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray for. If you're praying in tongues, you're going to be praying the perfect prayer, and you're enabling the Holy Ghost to work out the details so that you're going to be able to know which direction to go and walk in that path that He is creating for you as you're praying it out. You're praying out your future by praying in other tongues. And it's not only that, but I mean, there's a lot that goes into this prayer language. It's not just a one-dimensional. I mean, it's multi-dimensional, the way that the Holy Ghost is able. I mean, we're dealing with God here. We're talking about God. I mean, He takes something and He utilizes every ounce of what you're giving to Him. And He's not only working out the details of your life, you're empowering Him to deal with issues that are strongholds inside of you, strongholds in your thinking. You know, maybe your thoughts are causing you to struggle in certain areas. Maybe your thought pattern, the way you think, is keeping you held in bondage. Well, praying in tongues is going to enable the Holy Ghost to step in and begin to reveal things to you and give you wisdom to know how to deal with these things. I mean, there's so many different facets to praying in tongues, and the bottom line is that if we'll just do it, we don't have to understand everything that he's doing with that praying, with that prayer. All we have to know is that we are empowering the Holy Ghost to minister to us and on our behalf. Glory to God. And I will just show you very quickly how highly the Apostle Paul regarded this ability to pray in other tongues. Now, you know, if Paul highly esteemed this, and you know all of the things that he experienced in his ministry, my goodness, there has to be some, he must have attributed much of the success to this very thing, because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what we're going to find is that Paul said in verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's quite a statement. Speaking to the whole church of Corinth, he's saying, hey, I do this more than all of you. Now, he wasn't saying that boastfully or as a braggart. He was saying it factually. I do this all of the time. And, you know, without going into a big lesson about praying in tongues, I mean, we probably will get to that in this series of lessons here about the Holy Ghost. But it's such a benefit to us. It empowers the Holy Ghost to minister to us. See, with God, we have to open a door to him in faith so that he's able to step through and minister to us. He doesn't do it unilaterally. In other words, you know, just because he can see what a mess you are or me doesn't mean that he's just going to step right in and start cleaning the mess up. And I think that's what some people think, that God is, I mean, it kind of paints him as this person that's kind of a, you know, a dictator. The things are going to work the way I want them to work. And that's not the way God is. You know, God is the one that gave us a free will to choose. If we choose not to empower the Holy Ghost to minister to us, he's not going to bust down our door to do it. And consequently, you can look at the body of Christ, and what you see is a body that is in desperate need of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, but hey, we're fighting about whether or not you can pray in tongues or not. How in the world are you ever going to get the Holy Ghost empowered to minister to you if you think that praying in tongues is of the devil? You're already, you know, messed up. And the very thing that would help get you unmessed up is the thing that the enemy has you fighting about, praying in tongues. What a trap. What a trap. And like I said, the Holy Ghost isn't just going to barge in to your life and grab you by the nape of the neck and say, here, sit down, dummy. Let me teach you something. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to, we are going to have to invite him in and empower him to teach us by our choice, by our choosing, because he's not going to force himself on anybody. He's not that way. He's going to wait to be invited. So these are things that are going to empower the Holy Ghost to minister to us. Now, Jesus felt this to be such an important subject about the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us and what this would do on our behalf, that in John 14 and 15 and 16, he made comments there about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So let's go there and let's take a look. beginning in John 14, at the comments that Jesus made. Now, these are familiar passages, no doubt, when you're talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and you want to see what Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, generally speaking, chapters 14 and 16 are chapters of John that many people will turn to. But tonight, let's look at them like you've never seen them before. Don't read them with, you know, a religious idea. Okay, I've seen these before. I know what they say. You know, a lot of times people do that, and they miss the truth that's in those words. And what happens is they become just words on the page. They lose their meaning. And when that happens, we're just going through a religious ritual. You know, this is God speaking to us. This, in these passages here, the red letters, specifically, Jesus is telling us about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And he begins here in verse 1 of chapter 14 by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, I find it very interesting that in a chapter here where Jesus is going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that he begins by saying, don't allow your heart to be troubled. Apparently, the ministry of the Comforter is going to have some impact in us, which will enable us not to allow our heart to be troubled. Jesus does not want our heart troubled. I look at people. I'm a people watcher. I see people all the time that it's clear they are troubled. In all kind of areas, they're troubled. Jesus did not want us to be troubled. And he's saying right here, don't you allow your heart to be troubled. Now, he wouldn't say that without giving me a way so that I wouldn't have a troubled heart. And it's very clear in this same chapter where he's going to tell us about the Comforter, that the Comforter in his ministry will help us to not allow our heart to be troubled. The Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is a real person that Jesus has sent to live on the inside of us. And when he comes, when we have received his ministry, when we have been immersed, when we do what Jesus said and we are endued with power from on high and we're baptized, I'm telling you, immersed in the third person of the Godhead, there's a ministry that he brings into our life that's going to enable us not to let our heart be troubled. I tell you, there are times, you know, that, and I know every Christian deals with this. I know every Christian deals with times when there's temptation to be in turmoil and to be upset and to have a troubled heart, to be worried. It's funny, as I said that, it reminded me of something that I heard Kenneth Hagin say. And it's talking about worrying is a sin. And I know there are some people that really, they fuss about that. They don't think that's true. Oh yeah, it's a sin. We're not supposed to worry. He's told us so many times through the New Testament that, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be careful for nothing. You know, that's not just a suggestion. That carefulness, that care, and that's Paul writing in Philippians chapter 4. That care is worry, it's fretting. And, you know, here we have God speaking to us through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 saying, be careful for nothing. And we look at that and we think, well, that's just a nice suggestion. No, that's the Word of God saying, don't do it. And if it said, don't lie, we would look at that and think, okay, if I lied, that must be sin. But we look at him and say, be careful for nothing. And we say, well, that's just a nice suggestion. No, that's God telling you, don't worry. Because when you worry, you're in fear. And fear is to the enemy as faith is to God. Don't be in fear. And because Jesus knew that this was going to be a struggle for us, he prayed the Father to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And as we're going to see here in the 14th chapter, that the Comforter is the one that's going to help us not to allow our heart to be troubled. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit ministering to us. It's not just the Holy Spirit that's been sent to minister through us. He's been sent to minister to us. The question is, how in the world do I access His ministry? How do I open the door to the Holy Ghost? How do I empower Him to minister this comfort to me? Because I am in a world that is just going to hell, if you will, and everything is falling apart around us, and I want some comfort. I want some peace. And I'm not going to find it in this world. It's not here. The peace that we need, the peace that passes all understanding, comes from another world, through our spirit. And we have the person, the Comforter, that's going to minister to us this comfort and peace. So we're not to let our heart be troubled. We're not to be afraid. Glory to God. And we do this not because we just make up our mind one day, bless God, that's enough of that being in fearfulness. I'm not doing that anymore. It's more than just that. Because you can make a decision like that, and next week, you know, something horrible is going to happen, and there you go again. It's a lifestyle of empowering the Holy Ghost to minister to us from the inside out, bringing this peace, bringing this comfort into us, ministering this comfort to us, and praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. What an awesome ability. What an awesome gift he's given us to pray in tongues with stammering lips and with another tongue. Praise God. We can pray and enter into that rest, that refreshing. Glory to God. There's a refreshing. You spend some time praying in other tongues. You spend some time just sitting there worshiping the Lord and pray in tongues, and there's a peace that just settles down on you. It rises up inside of you. It's like being wrapped in this warm comforter in the wintertime. Oh, it's wonderful, peace. You know, all the world can be falling apart around you, but hey, you have the third person of the Godhead that you have accessed his ministry, and he is bringing that supernatural peace and comfort to your heart. Glory to God. This is how you walk in victory when the world is walking in turmoil. This is how you do it. This is how you live a life of success as a believer in this world when everything else around you is falling apart, because we have the Comforter. Now let's look at another few verses. The ones that we've looked at before, I'm just going to recap those since we're here. Verse 15 of John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. They don't have access to him. They can't benefit from his ministry. They're not born again. When they are born again, they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have access to his ministry. Let's go on. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. This was Jesus informing his disciples of what was going to happen. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Here is some of the attributes, some of the different attributes of the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us. He'll bring to our remembrances what's in the Word of God, what Jesus said to us, what others in the Word have said. He'll bring that to our remembrance, and that happens very frequently. When you have a lifestyle of praying in other tongues, fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, you're going to become acquainted with how he brings these words, these verses back up to you. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's the whole verse, and generally when it comes, it's dealing specifically with an issue that you are that you have at that moment, and he brings it right to the top. There it is. You know, this is him speaking to you. This is him communicating with you. He's doing it by bringing the Word of God to your remembrance, to your attention. And when that happens, grab onto it. Hold on tight. Is this important? This is what you need. This will get you over. Hallelujah. Let's go on. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Now look at this. One last time he's going to tell us, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, two different times. Do you think he's trying to emphasize this point? Most certainly he is. Don't let your heart be troubled. Here's the Holy Ghost. Notice how he does this. You know, at the beginning of that chapter, and of course it wasn't written chapter and verse when he was saying this, but that's the way it is here. He began this discourse, if you will, by saying, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, or actually he said that at the end. At the beginning it was, don't let your heart be troubled. Then he goes on and he speaks to them about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now he's coming to the end of this discourse, and he says again, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now doesn't it seem like sandwiched between those two statements where he talks about the Holy Ghost is in fact the answer to the issue of how do I not let my heart be troubled? Here is the Comforter. Here is the Holy Ghost. Here is the answer to how you don't have to allow your heart to be troubled. Empower the Holy Ghost to minister to you. Empower the Comforter to bring His comfort to you. This is His ministry to you. Now, in verse 15, I'm going to touch on this because he mentions in the 26th verse about the Holy Ghost. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So here again we have another attribute of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. What is he going to do? He's going to testify of Jesus. We don't worship the Holy Spirit. We worship Jesus. We worship the Father. The Holy Spirit directs us to Jesus. He's sitting there pointing there. That's the Savior, Jesus. That's the King directing us to Him. And that's exactly what Jesus said He would do. Then in chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. It is vitally important. It's so very important. It's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter's not going to come. See, the difference between the Comforter and Jesus was at the time Jesus said this, He was standing there on the outside, telling them, talking to the disciples. The disciples could see Him, they could touch Him. Here's Jesus. But when He left and the Holy Ghost came, now the Holy Ghost isn't just on the outside. He's on the inside. We are immersed, filled to overflowing with His presence. He's in us. He's not a person on the outside where there's one person that the whole world can't touch or talk to at the same time because He's on the outside. No, that's not the case. The Holy Ghost came and He's available to come and to reside within each and every one of us so that we can be immersed in His presence, each and every one of us, simultaneously, all over the face of the earth. It truly was expedient for Jesus. It was to our advantage that He would go away so that each one of us could experience the Comforter on an individual basis, where He would come and reside within us. Yes, it's important. Yes, it was important. Thank you, Jesus, for praying the Father to send the Comforter to us. And He's come, and all we have to do is receive His ministry on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Verse 13 of chapter 16. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Here, another attribute of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the guide, are giving us guidance. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to reveal the Word of God to us, reveal the hidden truths in the Word of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He brings that revelation knowledge forward inside of us, and praying in tongues is a great tool that for empowering Him to bring that revelation knowledge to our attention. Pray in other tongues. Read the Bible. Man, we are giving Him everything that He needs to bring that revelation knowledge to our attention. Glory to God. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us. He's our teacher. He's guiding us into all truth. Finish that verse. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's going to reveal the future to us. if we're paying attention, we can see things, know things that are going to happen before they happen. Because he's God. Because he has this ability to reveal these things to us if we give him the opportunity, if we give him the chance to do it. If we don't give him that space in our life to do these things, he's not going to grab us again by the nape of the neck and say, come here, sit down, I want to show you some things to come. No, he's not that way. He's not going to take control over us. He's waiting for us to yield ourselves to him and to empower him to teach us, to guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. Now I want to draw your attention to the last verse and of 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, look at this, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. In the world, you're going to have what? Tribulation. It is inevitable. We're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in it. And there is going to be tribulation. There's going to be challenges in this world. Just face it. But we don't have to be overwhelmed by the tribulation, because we have a comforter and we have the ability to pray in other tongues and receive the ministry of the comforter, receive his peace and his comfort, and with stammering lips in another tongue, we can receive that refreshing. Hallelujah. And I found for myself, when I give him those opportunities to minister to me like that, what I find is so often what the Holy Ghost will do is he will bring everything into perspective, and he'll show me in an instant how the thing that has been so dominating my thoughts, that here's this problem, boom, 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 and it's growing and it's magnified, and the enemy's magnifying this problem and it's bigger and bigger. And once I give the Holy Ghost a chance, what he does is he shows me how insignificant that problem really is. And it shrinks and it shrinks down. And then he shows me eternity. And I see spending eternity with my Heavenly Father, with Jesus my Lord, and with the Holy Ghost, eternity. And suddenly, the problem that I was facing on this earth that seems so huge is just, it's just so small. Because our life here is just a breath. We're here 1 minute, we're gone the next. And there's just not enough time to allow yourself to waste your life with worrying and fretting. There's just not enough time for that. We're only here a short period, and then we're gone. What we do here is going to stay with us throughout eternity. And it's going to be the people whose lives we influence for the kingdom of God. That's what's really important. Not these superficial things that we think are so important. No, what's really important is the internal things. It's people. That's what's important. All right, so now we've looked at the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us. Now, before we end here tonight, I want to look at one example of the ministry of the Holy Ghost through us. You see, back here in Acts chapter 1, we looked at this last week, verse 8, where it says, see, we again, Luke 24:49 talked about being endued with power. Well, in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power. And again, this is not the word for authority. This is a word for power. power, the power of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is his ministry through us, to be endued with power from on high. This power, this dunamis, is going to flow through us. Again, I hold up this light bulb. It's not that the we represent this light bulb. We're not the one with that has the power to. We're not causing this to happen. We're not causing this light bulb isn't causing itself to light up. No, it's the power that's flowing through it. It's the power of God flowing through us. That the in the person of the Holy Ghost, he's the one doing the miracles. We're the one yielded to him. So let's look at Acts chapter 3. I want to draw your attention to this event, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Now this is where I want to draw your attention. Look at these words. You know, here Peter has just been asked by this lame man who's been lame from his mother's womb for alms. He's wanting money. He's begging, "Give me money." Peter looks at him and he says, "I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But such as I have, give I thee." Now, for us today, we have a tendency as spirit-filled believers, when we're going to pray for somebody needs healing, we have a tendency to pray, "Oh God, heal this person." I want to ask you something. Is that what Peter did? You might say, "Well, Peter's a disciple. He's different. He was an apostle. He's different." Peter's a believer. And these are, the book of Acts was set out to be an example for how we as spirit-filled believers are to live today. Peter's not somebody that's special. No. He's showing us how we are to allow the Holy Ghost to minister through us. Look at the words that he said again. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I have. Such as I have, give I thee." Such as I have. He realized something. He realized that he had been endued with power from on high. He knew the Holy Ghost was in him and was about to minister through him. And it was going to happen. How? By releasing the power through the name of Jesus. When he would speak the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost was released and empowered to work the miracle through Peter. Isn't that amazing? In other words, Peter wasn't going to the Father and asking the Father for something. Peter was empowering the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus, because Peter had the authority to use the name of Jesus. He spoke the name of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost was able to flow through him and minister healing to this lame man. And that's exactly what happened. I'm going to read it one more time. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So who is in control? And I say this very carefully. Who is in control of this healing ministry at that moment? Well, if Peter had not said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, would that man have been able to get up and walk? No, he wouldn't have been. So Peter had to yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He had to empower the Holy Spirit to do the work necessary through authorizing him in the name of Jesus, by speaking the name of Jesus. So Peter was the one that was initiating this. He looked at this man. What? Think about all of the things that have transpired in this one little event. You know, there are some people that say, well, I can't pray for somebody unless God tells me to. Look at this event right here. Here's a man that looked at Peter and asked money. And Peter, do you think he was, okay, wait a minute, stop here. I've got to see if I can pray for you or not. No. This was instantaneous. He looks at the man, and it was instant. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. See how that worked? You know, rise up and walk. This is it's spontaneous. That's the word I'm looking for. It was spontaneous. He didn't have to go and pray for 2 or 3 days trying to work up enough faith to get this man healed. He gave the faith command. He empowered the Holy Spirit by the name of Jesus, and the man got up and walked. Glory to God. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit through you. The Holy Spirit is to be ministering to us. He desires to be ministering to us. He longs for us to give him the opportunity to minister to us. And he longs for us to allow him to minister through us, just as Peter did to the lame man at the gate beautiful. Glory to God. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I hope that encouraged you tonight. Hey, if you're down, if you feel like you've just been beat up, I tell you what, pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Allow that refreshing from the inside out to refresh you, to refresh your mind, to refresh you by praying in other tongues. Glory to God. It's exciting. It's the best way to live. Jesus, it was such an awesome gift giving us the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great message of the person of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that people are listening. They have ears to hear. And Father, that they are putting into practice what they've learned here tonight about praying in tongues and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for an expectancy, expecting the power that we've been endued with from on high to flow through us in the person of the Holy Spirit ministering to others through us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.